Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many people think God is more tolerant now than he was in the days of Old Testament Israel. Christians don't stone people for sin like the Hebrews did. So, has God changed? Today, why God has not changed his mind about sin, even though the church is a new creation. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the mysteries of God. Turn now to Hebrews chapter 12 as we learn more about the unchanging God.
Your name is enrolled in heaven. We come to the judge of all. The veil of the temple has been torn. Old Testament, stay away. High priest, come with blood. Come into the Holy of Holies once a year. Today, come. The veil was rent from top to bottom. God says, I'm going to do this. And you come now. Come into the holy place, says. Holy place, says, plural, by the blood of Christ. Just come. We come to the spirits of just men or the spirits of the righteous, and that may be indeed all the dead who have died, perhaps Old Testament, New Testament, since the beginning of time. We come to them as well. We come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. And then it says this, to the sprinkling of blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Did you know that Abel's blood spoke? I looked it up this morning in the fourth chapter of Genesis. When Cain killed Abel, God comes and he says, the blood of your brother is crying up to me. Crying up for what? For vengeance. That's what the blood of Abel speaks about, is vengeance. But this is so much better. This is the sprinkling of Jesus Christ's blood, and it symbolizes not judgment, but rather welcome, forgiveness, reconciliation. I've atoned for your sins. So indeed, it is a much better message than the message of Abel's blood. And so we come. So it's the earthly versus the heavenly. You say, well, God really has lightened up. Hang on. So let's look at it this way, and I have to throw this in before we get to the rest of the passage. You must understand that in the Old Testament there was a theocracy. God was ruling over the nation of Israel directly. You know, that's why he would speak to his prophets, and he would say, and they would say, thus says the Lord. I don't believe that there are any prophets today who speak with that kind of authority, no matter how well known they are, no matter how articulate they are. Nobody speaks the thus saith the Lord like the Old Testament prophets and then the inspired scripture. But the point is that there was a direct rule of God, a direct rule of God over his people. And there was no freedom of religion. Absolutely not. I mean, if you were a heretic, if you followed a false god, you could be stoned, as we pointed out earlier. And so there was a direct rule. Today, and I'm hurrying now to the New Testament, today, of course, it's different because we don't have a theocracy. The Church of Jesus Christ is scattered throughout the whole world, in the Gentile world. And as a result of that, the church has always been an island of righteousness in a sea of paganism. Therefore, you see, we do not carry over, and we have no right to, some of the penalties of the Old Testament today, because we are under a different era, under a new administration, so to speak, under a new dispensation. And that's why we don't stone those who commit sexual sins. There may be other penalties. And even if we had the authority to do so, we do not have that kind of theocratic authority today. So Jesus, when he said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, he was instituting a new era in which he said, you can give to Caesar his due, and that's fine. And you can also give to God. You can do both. And the question of how to do both has been a point of controversy throughout the church, throughout many centuries, the relationship of church and state. But the point is, now we have a multinational group of people called the church, scattered throughout every single country of the world, working out their own faith, and there is no theocratic nation. Not even America is a theocratic nation, no matter how deeply our roots were in the soil of biblical teaching. And so we have that difference. But the question still is God more tolerant? That's the question. Now we come to a breathtaking passage of Scripture that I'm going to read to you. And then after we read it, I'll give a very brief explanation of it. But notice this. If you think God has kind of relaxed his standards and says, well, let bygones be bygones. You know, we're under grace. Oh, really? Verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. There it is. Let awesome belong to God. For our God is a consuming fire. Wow. Old Testament. You disobeyed, you were stoned. Physical, immediate judgment. New Testament. What you find is eternal future judgment. Here's the bottom line. You can see the argument that the writer is making. The greater the grace, the greater the penalty for rejecting it. If they did not escape when they rebelled and did not serve God under Sinai, do you really think that you'll escape when you reject the grace of Mount Zion? Are you kidding? That's the argument. The greater the grace, the greater the judgment for refusing it. You know, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes that I am going to paraphrase for you. Basically, it says this. When the sentence against a crime is not carried out immediately, people feel free to do wrong. Wouldn't you say that throughout our nation today, people feel very free to do wrong? Because there is no sentence that is immediately enforced or executed. So we just do what we want, and the silence of God is interpreted as the indifference of God, as if God isn't really, you know, the God of the Old Testament. Wow. God of the new, hey, live and let live. Doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does matter. And what the point is this, that if anyone here today thinks that the God of the Old Testament is a different God than the God of the New Testament, my friend today, you have not read the book of Revelation. You just read it and then ask yourself, is this the same God or is this some God who is overlooking it all? The good news is that when we come to Jesus, we take someone who took the wrath of God. He took the hit for us. That's the good news of the gospel. So that's why we're invited to come, because we have a mediator. We have a new covenant of blood that shields us from God's wrath, that invites us into his presence and says, come boldly onto the throne of grace now, but come through the blood of Christ. And so through him we have access. In the end, we will see that none of God's rules have been, vitiated, taken care of, canceled. No, he is holy. And in this passage, what he's talking about is that there's going to be a future judgment when all things that you see are going to be taken away and only eternity is going to remain. And then he says, in light of the fact that we have an eternal kingdom, speaking to believers, should we not serve God with reverence and godly fear? Should we not be willing to contribute to his work generously and joyfully? And should we not be willing to sacrifice on his behalf, given the fact that we have such a marvelous hope in God that's going to endure forever over against those who are going to experience eternal judgment? And speaking of eternal judgment and the justice of God, I think that that's the next message in this series. But the point is that you just read the book of Revelation and you will find that God has not laxed his standards. There is something about grace that can be deceptive. We offer grace to everyone, but it could give the illusion that God doesn't care that much about sin. He cares so much about it that he sent his Son to redeem us from it so that we could be in his presence forever.
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Have you ever read the Bible and wondered why it was that in the Old Testament some of the penalties seemed to be so harsh? I mean, after all, people were stoned for committing adultery, for homosexuality, and so forth. The purpose of this message, as I mentioned previously on a previous broadcast, is to try to help us to understand how God is unchanging. Though his administration and the way in which he administers laws have changed. That's why it's so important for you to have that message. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours so that you can listen to the message from beginning to end and understand the point that is being made about the unchangeable God. I am the Lord and I change not. You know, there have actually been people who have said that there's two gods. The God of the Old Testament was very harsh. The God of the New Testament is very caring and very loving. That, of course, is false. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, you can actually find some judgments in the book of Revelation that make the Old Testament look rather tame, actually, to put it that way. So on the one hand, we have God unchanging, which is a great blessing to those of us as Christians. He's never going to change his mind about us. If we believe on Jesus, he is unchanging, therefore dependable. But on the other hand, his administration does change. The purpose of this series of messages, which is entitled The Mysteries of God, is intended, as I've mentioned before, to probe God's mysteries, not that we might understand them completely in no way, but to know them as far as we as humans can know God, and therefore worship him better, even as we anticipate enjoying him forever.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Unchanging God, another message on the mysteries of God. Next time, exposing every dark corner of our lives to the light, allowing us to serve God with clean hearts. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.